Hello, folks, and welcome to Mental Health Matters on WPVM 103.7, The Voice of Asheville. I am Todd Weatherly, mental health expert and treatment consultant. And with me today is my long-term friend and recovery advocate, Jason Kirshner. Jason, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here. Long-time fan, first-time caller.
I haven't been on that long, but I'm so glad I've got at least one fan out there. That's great. And, you know, you and I were, I mean, we've known each other for a while now. I'd like to point out that you're slightly older than I am. And that's just, you know, important for everybody to know by some days, as our birthdays are days apart. But you have also lived, a life of a lot of experiences and are, you know, your heritage and your background, even though we know race is really a myth, not that the experience of race is a myth, but race is ultimately a myth, but your part, you know, you've got some African-American blood in you, you're part Jewish, you are a tall son of a gun, you're like 6 foot something, and
six foot two.
You cover a lot of like side categories as an individual who has managed to make it in this world and do fairly well. Housekeeping supervisor at one of our local largest employers in the land, and so, you know, you and I have, besides sci-fi geeking out all the time, I think that you and I have also, we've also broached some topics of great sensitivity, including like sexual identity and gender identity and sexual orientation, which is also one of the topics that's of interest to you. And, you said that, today something that might be a good topic, and I'm so happy you brought it up, which is also, being on the spectrum. So we've got the autism spectrum disorder, and they used to call people who are high functioning on the spectrum. They used to use the word Asperger's. That's no longer used these days. And you, not unlike me, have recently, you know, been exploring a lot of this stuff and like felt like some of that stuff really spoke to you in a way. When I went to college and I took Psych 101, I had a sheet that talked about ADHD and had a bunch of boxes, and I started checking like 9 out of 10 boxes and went and got, I went to the health center. I'm like, I have this. What can you do for me? And turned out to be true and an effective thing in my life. But ultimately, I think you're not alone. I think there's a lot of people out there. Whether they constitute, you know, they've experienced something or it constitutes as a formal diagnosis, it's like there's a broad range of people out there who are what we call neurodivergent, who are successful and incredibly resourceful and needed in work communities and everything else. I mean, the world just doesn't know much about it. So I'd love to have a conversation with you. What made you be curious? What led you down this path, potential rabbit hole here?
Well, it actually started 25 years ago. I have a very analytical brain. So when I see a problem, especially about myself, I try and find logical reasons for it. And I, at the time, had thought I may be bipolar somewhere in there, because I would go through these mood swings. Now, looking back on a lot of those mood swings where I wasn't making a lot of money, so when I got the checks in, I'm happy. And then at the end of the month, I'm not so happy because the money's not there anymore. So I thought that was a cycle similar to monthly cycles that a lot of people have. But and I was diagnosed in the bipolar spectrum because they couldn't really classify it. I didn't have any predictable patterns of it. Well, this morning in talking to my therapist, he actually suggested...
Very early on, you also, there was substance use stuff that was involved too, and you experienced issues there as a young man.
Yeah, that was self-medicating, and that was a very, that made my 30s very dark. but this morning, my therapist actually suggested that, you know, we might want to explore autism the spectrum there, and more specifically Asperger's. And it's only been 2 hours, so I haven't done a lot of reading, but everything I've read so far, it's definitely worth exploring because it's a theory that fits the facts. It would also explain the emotional roller coaster that would happen, as that apparently can be a component of autism. And so it's just amazing. It's like every week I find something new that I'm learning about myself, and it's kind of exciting to get answers for things that I had questions my entire life about. So while autism can sound scary, at the same time, as I said, 52 years in, I'm excited that I may finally be able to fully self-actualize as I learn more and more. And I've always been good at knowing when something is a truth about myself, when it comes through very strongly. And I think the future just looks up.
That's awesome. Well, you know, I think your experience is not uncommon in terms of like people spending a lot of their lives grappling with a question, not having good resources, not having good answers, ending up in front of professionals who, you know, maybe good in one specific area. You know, if you want to go to a surgeon, he's going to be great at surgery. He's not going to be able to tell you anything about behavioral health. And then of course, people in professional arenas have a tendency to take what they know and think that that just kind of applies way, way out, sometimes a lot further than it actually does. And so you end up in this process of questioning and repeat misdiagnoses and all these other kinds of things that are happening, or, you know, the number of people who suffer from or who are on the spectrum that, you know, end up in some situation where they get diagnosed with bipolar disorder or some kind of thought disorder. I mean, as a presentation, they can look a lot alike, but they are very different conditions. They need to be treated very differently. In addition to that, you got somebody who gets saddled with bipolar, they have to end up in the hospital. Well, guess what? They're going to put you on bipolar medications. And guess what bipolar medications do to a person who doesn't have bipolar condition? Largely, they make you look like you have bipolar.
So yeah.
These are intense medications, and being misdiagnosed and then mistreated can have some serious, serious consequences. I think personally, that is why we are faced with a world with such incredible complicating psychiatric conditions, not just because of the pandemic, but because we've been miscaring for, mistreating, we've been in a situation where people haven't gotten appropriate care for so long. And what happens when you don't get appropriate care is you make the condition worse. You're a person who knows that as well as anyone, having some close and personal experiences with what treatment looks like and what doctors will say and that kind of jazz. I'm super excited that you found something you feel like speaks the truth to you. What are you going to do now?
I'm going to probably increase the amount of times I speak with my doctor because this is a whole new arena. It requires different techniques of working on it. What might be the solutions for working with bipolar probably don't work with Asperger's, or it's no longer called that, but with
ASD. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
And that, looking back, that's probably something that hindered me as I was working on something that's more emotional as opposed to something that's much more hardwired. The analogy would be kind of like my brain works closer to how a thinking computer would work than it does for anything that involves emotions. He asked me a funny question. Which Star Trek character I most related to, because I think he expected me to say the one that I said, which was Data. Although I always wanted to be more like Worf because he's got that moral code and he's strong. But Data, and to a lesser degree,
Spock. Data's pretty strong.
Well, he's strong, but I'm talking about kind of that warrior mentality. Worf, you know, I always figured on the Enterprise, Worf would be the guy I wish were my best friend, you know, kind of like how Riker and Worf always kind of got along. But Data was the one I would most relate to because he looks at things analytically, and he's Pinocchio, so he's always trying to be a real boy. and a real, real person. And that's kind of the way I always felt growing up. It's like, I always thought I was like one step removed from being a, you know, well, when I was a kid, I didn't relate to adults really at all, except for my mother. And, you know, I had the other characteristics looking back, it's like, yeah, I always had trouble maintaining relationships, probably because I couldn't tell when the other person was getting annoyed with me, which is another characteristic.
That's enough about Star Trek. I don't want to hear it. We don't have that problem, but yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, the other thing is, maybe not as much for, you know, guys our age, certainly for people our parents' age, the whole seeking help and getting therapy and, you know, exploring solutions with somebody who's got the chops and credentials to be able to navigate a process like that. It's not really, you know, it wasn't something that was done. And for someone who is older, and I run into these folks all the time, you know, they, maybe it's been troublesome and it's been troublesome for a little while, but it was never enough to kind of keep them from doing some of the things they wanted to do. And then they get older, and because they haven't done anything about it, none of the issue that is presenting itself has been treated in any substantial way. The older they get, the harder it starts to manage. You know, it's like this depression I've been dealing with, or this condition that I've been dealing with, this trauma that I've been dealing with. It starts to crop up. It's like a wound that doesn't get healed and you just try to cover up. Well, it festers and it can become toxic, and then it starts having an impact on your life. So you see people that are getting older, 40s and 50s, and they start, you know, maybe they're drinking too much, or maybe they're having problems in their relationships, or maybe they're having problems at work, and they're starting to discover that this condition they've been trying to ignore ain't going away. Yeah. And the longer they ignore it, it starts getting worse. And so, you know, just the ability, one, the ability to recognize that there's something there, two, the willingness and frankly, in a lot of ways, courage to go and actually get help and get somebody to tell you what's going on and pursue, you know, either treatment or something that's going to be supportive for you and the condition. I mean, to me, I think it's one of the bravest things that people do. Think about it this way. What you're going to do is you're going to go have people look at your innermost secret junk and help you figure it out. That concept, even to me that knows a lot about it, and I know certainly for others, is terrifying. It's like, no, I don't want you to look at any of that stuff. No. Do not look over here. Do not pay attention to the man behind the curtain. As a person, you know, who may not always have an emotional response or an emotional experience of something, this may be a strange question for you, Data. How does that feel?
It's actually weird because, you know, you talk about scary, but I'm actually excited about it, this road that I'm on, the immediate path that I'm on, started in 2020. I had decided my New Year's resolution was, this is going to be the year of reflection, self-reflection. I was, you know, not going to date until I was ready, blah, blah, blah. And then the pandemic hit, which was, you know, I'm the one, you know, once I got the ability to pay bills again, once the financial thing squared away,
yeah,
I'm the only person who's excited to be staying home because I'm like, this is perfect. Now I can fully work on myself. And so as it went along, I started to just look inward. I had a lot of time. And it's when I discovered a couple key things that just made absolute sense. And I'm excited to see where it goes forward because both of them are happening at the same time. And you know, one of them is the potential autism, and it's high functioning, which means I do day to day. I just have to figure out, you know, how to work on relationships, social situations, relationship I don't already have and would like to have. And so I'm excited probably because of the two, you know, the two big things that are a couple things I'm working on all at once just seem like, again, I'll use a computer analogy. It's like discovering a hidden partition on your computer, finding the decryption key for it. And then in this case with the autism, it was like, oh, I found another layer. This computer is like, instead of being the 1 terabyte, suddenly there's a, you know, another terabyte hidden in there, and it's got all this wonderful data in it
that you haven't been able to explore yet. Well, and you know, you say that the relationship piece, I would say that that is one of the big, you know, for a person with any, whether it was bipolar or whether it's autism spectrum, like relationships are, they're a huge nut to crack. You know, it's like, how do I do this? And how do I find my community? How do I find the person that's special to me? How do I find these sorts of things? Now, you know, the truth is that you're a person who is, you know, living independently and successfully employed and has a good job and has all the other pieces and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people are starting out in this journey and they've got none of those things. They've got all the foundation to establish and everything else. So you've definitely had struggles, ups and downs, and all kinds of things in your life. How did you get over it? Like, where was the hump? You know, when did you clear the hump, do you think? And what was the aha? What was the moment? What was the thing that caused that to occur?
I think if I had to look, it was actually coming from a situation I wasn't happy in. I'd applied for a supervisor position in my department, and I had thought, and all indications were, it was mine if I wanted it, and then somebody else got it. So what I did was I fell back on a habit of mine when I'm stressed out, which is to find some kind of project, which usually involves compiling information, usually numbers. My favorite non-entertainment program or app on a computer is Excel, because I can just sit there and program this and that. And the stuff I started to do was what I called a lottery, which was I was working at the front desk, and basically, I'd have everybody, and surprisingly, everybody did this every single day, would guess what time we would hit a certain number of remaining check-ins, or in the morning, how many will we have left at 11 o'clock that we do our auto checkout on. Everybody did it, but I ended up adding on all this extra data, which was supposed to be a predictive model. The one I was most proud of was it would actually predict what time we would actually hit that number. And it displayed how much time left and how much time going forward. And I was so proud. I showed to people and they're like, we'd like more information. So it ballooned into that. But the thing was that I fell into something useful doing my stressor activity. And that led me directly to get a promotion into finally being a supervisor in a different department, housekeeping. And a few months later,
cool story.
Well, a few months later, I had a couple epiphanies and the freedom to explore them. And suddenly it's like the world is opening up to me. It's like a whole new world.
That's awesome. Well, you've heard about Pokemon in Japan, most of the creators of Pokemon characters in the Pokemon world are people who are on the spectrum, because they dive in, you know, they create all these characters and these specs and these everything else. And they just love it. And they make the best employees. So at any rate, it sounds like, you know, I think it's really true for everyone. You know, the thing that you need to do in this world is, one, figure out who you are. And turn what you love, or, you know, what you're really good at, into something that serves the world. There's a quote by Parker Palmer, let your greatest talent meet the world's greatest need. One of my favorite quotes of his. And, so it sounds like you kind of embarked on this journey, that is leading you to this place of some pretty awesome self-discovery, which also lends to powerful stories, which is part of why this podcast exists, because people need to know that, you know, at your deepest, darkest moments, that, you know, people do work it out. There is, not that everybody does, and there are certainly terrible stories out there, but there is definitely hope that this might actually work out. You might actually live a healthy and lovely, productive life full of joy and everything else that people deserve. It sounds like you're just one of those examples out there that I'm glad that you get to tell the story a little bit on the other side. Not that there isn't more to discover. I'm sure there is. There always is. Personal discovery is a lifelong process, but I'm happy to be your friend. I'm so glad to know you. I'm excited about this other chapter that you're uncovering in your life. And, at some point in time, we'll jump back on the podcast and we'll get the other chapter of this story, which will be great.
Oh, yeah. There is a whole other conversation on that one, but yeah, we can save that for another day. But I think if I could do, if you have one of those superhero powers, I would love to be able to just bounce back, kind of one of those astral projection type things, go to myself about 20 years ago when things were really at their darkest and say, it's going to be good when you turn 52. Yeah, it's going to be okay. Suffer through because you need to suffer this. Yeah. I'm trying to think of a movie that had something where they had to talk themselves in the past, but they had to make.
I've got the movie for you. You ready? You're gonna love it. It's Star Wars. I know that's a shocker for you that I would bring up Star Wars, but it's when Duke's on Hoth, and he's like, he's crawling out of the cave, having almost lost his life, and he's like. He's going to freeze to death is what's going to happen. But what appears for him is Obi-Wan going, yeah, it's fine. You're going to go to, after this, you're going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then suddenly Han shows up and rescues him and everything else. But I think that's like these hard moments. If you had that figure that just showed up, it's like, it sucks. I know it's going to be okay. It's really going to be okay. Focus on where you might find okayness. That's the other piece I would add to this. You come out of it with hope. Like you get what you focus on. Like people who believe that they have a chance to get better or, find their own way and create something that is desirable and joyful in their life. If they believe that, it has a tendency to be true.
Yeah.
Whereas if this is what I'll say about mental illness, especially depression and some of the harder, darker emotional experiences that people have, is that depression and anxiety and all these things, they feel serious and they're hard to deal with. And this is not a dismissive statement, but depression is a liar. It's an absolute liar. It'll tell you anything to make you maintain its state. So try to believe something other than what, the darkest messages are trying to say to you. So I don't know if you'd agree with that, but it sounds like you found your way yourself.
Yeah. Stay away from the dark side when it comes to depression. Because you're right. It's kind of like drugs. It's a liar. It gives you temporary things, but it's always about, from its perspective, it's about keeping you under its control. And I know from experience that depression can just seem endless, but I also live, one of my credos, if you will, is everything feels like it's going to last forever until it's over, and everything always ends. So,
all states are temporary.
Yeah. It's like I stubbed my toe. Oh my God, this is going to hurt forever. And then suddenly it's gone and you have this vague memory of the pain. And I personally feel very lucky that I have the support system that I do. My father passed away about a year and a half ago. And I remember being on a FaceTime call with my mom and sister. And I told her flat out, after lamenting my father's passing, that I said, and I quote, "You saved my life," which she did. She and my father did. I was like, felt like I was drowning, about to go under the water. And then they reached a hand out and they got me on the road where I'm at now. And gave me the second chance, which I ran with. I went into the next phase saying, okay, this is perhaps the last big second chance I'm going to get. So I went in with this wide open eyes, and there were painful moments. I remember walking around just nobody else was around. I was just so frustrated. I just screamed. And I knew to go somewhere where nobody was going to be, but I was just in, and I worked it out. And then 12 years later, you know, it's the world is, it's almost like the good upside down, so to speak.
Right. Well, yeah, I think that as a final note, that's probably one of the best things. I know not everybody has supportive family, but you got somebody who loves you and cares about you out there. I know it's true. Like my favorite quote of Mr. Rogers, it's like, look for the people who help, because they're all there. They're all around. They're people, look for the people who help. But Jason, I am super happy to have had you on the show finally. We've been talking about it for a while. We've got it all scheduled, put together, and I can't wait to hear a little more. So we'll have to, you know, 6 months later, we'll put another show together and see where we're at. But it's been a pleasure to have you, and I thank you so much for sharing with us. This is Mental Health Matters on WPVM 103.7, The Voice of Asheville. We'll look forward to being with you next time. Take care, everybody. Thanks, Jason.
Bye-bye. Thanks for having
me. Even if we go blindly, let's go into the wild, wild, go into the wild. Let's build a rocket ship and fly away. I wonder why I can't remember. Is it a time I caught my breath? Too many cold nights in December. It's got me guessing all that's left. There you have it. Night, I lie awake, wanna escape this. Hold tight, the air is changing. Let's run away. Somewhere we can be safe. Somewhere away from all these nightmares, where nobody can find me. Let's run away, far away from all the pain. We go blindly, let's go into the wild, wild, go into the wild, let's build a rocket ship and fly away, let's go into the wild, wild, go into the wild, let's build a rocket ship and fly. Must be a monster in my head. Lately feels like I've been faking. Think there's a stranger here instead. There you have it.